Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, there's only so many things I feel like I can consume and pretend to understand and talk about with any kind of authority whatsoever. And the market is not one of those things. Meanwhile, my brother, Mr. Benjamin Bry, is very good at doing those things because that's what he's done his entire career. He is a 20-year Wall Street vet and founder and managing member of Deductive Capital, and he is here to translate the market for those of us who barely, if not at all, are in the market. Ben Bry, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, we're getting through the week. It seems like you and your industry are having a little bit more volatile time than the rest of us.
Yeah,
maybe not the rest of us, but
correct.
A lot of us. And so,
well,
where should I don't even know where we should start. So, where do you think we should start as far as trying to explain what's happened since the last time you were on?
Well, I think for, you know, your listeners and the average person in the United States, it's a little bit different. It's very similar to 2008, like, and at a very high level. But the difference is the epicenter of all this is outside the United States this time. It's not inside the United States. And it's not with private banks, somewhat, but it's with governments themselves. So the bubble and the financial, you know, stress and dislocations are actually at central banks and fiscal governments versus just private companies and private banks like they were in 2008.
Giving out bad loans.
This is a little bit beyond the scope of the conversation, but the general idea is that the way the financial system works is there's loans to governments, loans to corporations, loans to mortgages for homes, and that is the underlying collateral that works as how the financial system works. And so whenever that collateral gets damaged, like in 08, you had subprime loans and the mortgages get damaged. There was derivatives built on that that caused the stress. This time, it's bond market has, I don't know, you've noticed mortgage rates are now at 7% for a 30-year.
Really snuck in there at the right time.
Yeah, the 10-year is at 4%. The 2-year is at 4.3%. So like, you know, the last time I was on here, we talked about how you can get a little money. But the reason why that is there's a bit of a blow up in the debt around the world. And so there's a shortage of dollars. And so the dollar value, if you look at any chart, has gone through the roof. It looks like kind of like how Bitcoin did in 2021. And the corollary of that is everybody else's currency is going like how Bitcoin looks in 2022.
Which is down for people who don't follow
down,
Bitcoin.
Yes, up and then down. But it's not really about up and down. It's about the pace of the up and down. These are currencies. You know, people go to work and they don't expect their currency to fluctuate like it did. The Japanese yen is down 30% versus the dollar this year. The English pound is down 20%. It was down 10% last week in a couple days. I mean, this is kind of a shaking of the financial system itself. It's just that in the U.S., because we have the king currency of the world, you know, the dollar's actually up. So no one in the U.S. is feeling it. Now, on the other side of this, people might start to feel it when the dollar retreats some. But so, yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic. And the U.S. is, we're probably in recession, but it's not like, you know, it doesn't feel like the end of the world. Whereas if you look at the financial markets, they very much seems like 2008, basically.
And so, because this basically, I remember talking about this with you last week as far as what's going on in England, and I made the joke, which I'm sure English people don't think it's very funny, but as Packer fans start to go across the pond to go to the Packer game in London next week, the strength of the dollar compared to the pound is, they're feeling pretty good about that.
Great timing.
But what? Didn't they just get a new prime minister? And so is this wrapped up into decisions that she made? Or why did this see such a huge fall so quickly, this being the pound?
So it was going the way of everybody else's currency because the dollar was so strong. But then she came out and basically said unfunded tax cuts for bankers, for the upper class, just for businesses, like, we're going to cut taxes. Okay. And So unfunded fiscal expansion, which is basically money printing, right? And they're going to sell bonds, and then they're going to, you're not going to be able to like fund it with new. So it's just going to be a devaluation of the currency. And then the currency went down 8% in two trading days. It was one of the biggest moves to the all-time low, actually. It went to 103 on Sunday night.
Has there ever been
great timing for Packers fans?
Yes. But has there ever been a worse? She's only been in an office like a month, right? I mean, that's a pretty, she became the prime minister and basically the queen died and the pound fell. It's a bad first month at work.
I mean, the queen is probably, there's the guy who's joking, the queen probably facepalmed in her grave seeing what's going on since she's left. It's a bit of a mess, and there's not really a good way out of it. Now their central bank is talking about buying bonds and raising rates, and the fiscal is going to try and ease, but the central bank's going to try and put the brake. So it's like jamming your accelerator and your brake at the same time and seeing like how that goes for your car. That's basically what a lot of governments in Europe are doing.
All right, we're talking.
And,
oh, go ahead.
Know, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I'm just going to reintroduce you for people who might have just joined us. We're talking to my brother, Ben Bry, who is a 20-year Wall Street vet and founder of and managing member of Deductive Capital. And he joins us every once in a while to explain what's happening in the market because it is something that I continue to not quite understand or be able to wrap my head around. So he tries to put it into layman's terms for us. So as far as global markets and how they are affecting the average person in the United States, how would you translate that for us?
Well, I mean, I think what's going on is that the energy prices that, you know, had a lot to do with the Russia-Ukraine situation, but also a general underinvestment in oil and gas globally has put the world in a bit of a weak spot. And so prices, and then, you know, also labor, we talked about when I was on the show as a co-host, the average laborer has not done that well over the last 30 years. And now that's starting to reverse, unions and people are just like demanding higher wages. So inflation is starting to kick up and the world's very financialized. And the only way that it can work with all this debt is to have low inflation, because then you can have low rates. If you have actual inflation, then it basically no one wants to hold the debt, and then you have what happens this year where the debt kind of blows up. And so I looked at a chart earlier today. This is the worst year in history by far in terms of wealth destruction. The estimates are $60 to $80 trillion of wealth has been destroyed in 2022 globally.
Is that individually or is countries or whose wealth? Just or wealth in general?
Aggregate equity and debt value.
We were talking earlier, Ben, and I think it's interesting when you talk about the pound and her plan now, the new prime minister's plan to cut taxes on the wealthy and big corporations. And that sounds like trickle down to me. Is trickle down effective?
Not really, no. I mean, it's like, you know, there's a push and pull to it, right? Like, you don't want to tax your most productive members of society and like get them to move around and be like, you know, tax dodging. But you also want to believe that like trickle down really works. I mean, that's kind of like something they sold as a way to promote these policies. But I don't think, if you look at the inequality charts in America, the year that I was born in 1982, it was the lowest of the last 100 years. It was the highest in 1929 before the Depression, and it's back at those levels now. So, you know, you just, an unequal society where the income and GDP of the world's not distributed very well becomes a fragile society, which is what I think you're seeing now.
And another question I have for you, Ben, it seems like when workers do well, the stock market doesn't like that.
I'm not sure that's true. I think that the stock market actually does well when interest rates go up and there's actually real growth. I think that the stock market, there's a component of it that like they want to have margins higher, And so margins higher, you know, often means, you know, less money to the employees, you know, and the other factors of production. So I'm not really sure that's true. I just think it's more that the system is very much geared towards higher and higher returns on capital. And so one of the things that they do is buy out companies and then fire people, or they have machines replace humans. And I think that's going to continue because, you know, a machine doesn't say, oh, I was, you know, hung over from the night before. A machine doesn't call in sick. They just do their job consistently. And now machines are starting to come for services jobs, and artificial intelligence is going to come for services jobs, and self-driving cars will come for taxis and truck drivers. So the transition to the next phase will be very difficult because politically, you know, it's going to be very popular to be against technology. But at the same time, you know, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world to have machines do these jobs. You just have to figure out, maybe we have to distribute income better. Maybe we have to have a progressive tax. Maybe, you know, I don't really necessarily think I have the answer. I'm just saying that that is going to be the challenge of the next 20 years, I think, because the remedial jobs will go the way of the factory worker, you know, in more or less, or the bank teller, or the grocery store, you know, bagger or whatever, you know, all the jobs that have gotten taken, Blockbuster, you know, et cetera.
Blockbuster, good recall. Well, and this is where we started the show today was there was an article from Intercept that the Iron Mountain CEO admitted on an earnings call that he does a rain dance for inflation and how inflation is good for his bottom line because they can hide in extra costs and make the excuse that it is because of general inflation. And so how much do you feel like that is a general corporate trick that as we talk about inflation being bad, it's bad globally, it's bad because people don't want to be holding the debt as numbers go up. And so how much of this is also because there's just price gouging going on?
I mean, there's some of that, right? But I think that, like, the reality is that underlying problem isn't price gouging, it's lack of competition. And the government has systematically made it so that certain companies have less and less competition. So, you know, regulation tends to favor big companies because all those lawyers as a percentage of revenue are much, the percentage is much lower versus me and you have a business as a small, medium business. We can't afford it. And so healthcare, defense, big banks, they love regulation. It protects them. It protects them from incumbents. So that guy that raises price, if he was in a pure commodity business like oil or lumber, you know, unless there's a complete consolidation of the guys who are processing it, they can't do that because competition will come in and take it away. So, you know, the answer to your question is it's all about the degree of competition, whether they can do that or not. Like some industries can, like our utility, for example, raises rates and they have a contractual. They're not doing that. That's just what it is. But inflation is mostly to the wheels so that you don't have situations like now, because otherwise the debt implodes because interest has to come from somewhere. And if you don't have growth, it's self-defeating. It eats itself, basically.
All right. Well, with the minute we have left, do you have any other closing thoughts on what's going on?
No, it's a good time to sit in cash and hang out, not be a hero.
Don't be a hero. Good advice.
It's a very difficult, complex situation, and I think that the average person should be very careful right now. This could go the wrong way, and you don't want to like see all your savings go back down after such a long, nice period. Even though it's down some, it's still up a lot versus 2010-12. So,
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. All right, thanks for joining us, brother. We'll talk soon. That's been Ben Bry, my older brother, and Market Savant. We'll take our last break of the show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.